Thank you, Jeff Prindle, very much. And thank all of you for the great music this evening. Well, I'm enjoying the service so much. And Vicki Boer put the order of things together. It's going very well, Vicki. Thank you. She just ran back from North Carolina or something, just arrived probably a couple hours ago. So she planned ahead. We're thankful for that. And for you all being here. And if it's appropriate, I do feel more comfortable seeing people that I'm speaking to, and if you can get the lights for the folks, that would be inspiring for me. Thank you, guys. Well, Merry Christmas to everybody, and happy birthday to Jesus. At 8:30, I think it was last week, I told the story of two little boys talking about Christmas and the gifts they received, and one said to the other one, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" And one said, "No, I didn't get everything I wanted, but that's okay. It wasn't my birthday anyway." So Jesus would have us take him as the gift we need. I don't know about you, but at times at Christmas, even though I'm thankful for the different gifts that thoughtful family members get, things that don't fit and colors that maybe just doesn't click with you, sometimes, after a couple of months, I've snuck back to the store and returned them. And, of course, didn't mention that to the gift giver. But I've never met anybody who wanted to return Christ, who said, "No, you know, no thank you." Once they received him and really began to follow him, they said, now this is a gift that gives health and strength and salvation to my soul. So you take him for yourself tonight. And when the birth of Jesus came, it got people going in one of two directions real fast. And they followed those directions fairly strongly. They chose for the good or evil side. And so the two groups of people in the Bible representative of the two different ways people chose were followers of Jesus and followers of Herod. We have that potential in our own soul to be one or the other. And usually we're in a strong direction one way or the other and may not know it. So the question is for Christmas Eve, whose follower are you? Follower of Jesus? Follower of Herod? Let's take a look at those two and see where our soul lines up or where we want to line up. Now, Herod can be a very attractive character. He is in the story of Jesus' birth. He's a little bit in the New Testament here. Don't underestimate him. He was king 10 times longer than Jesus was a teacher. So he had some longevity in there and certainly some power. He was called Herod the Great. And who of us does not want to be great? Just for a little while, picture your name, so-and-so the Great. Perhaps you've thought of that or prayed for that at certain times. He was given the assignment of being in charge of Judea, which was the Holy Land. And he was called King of the Jews for a while. The same name that would be used to mock Jesus when Jesus was dying. As if the people were saying, "You could never be like Herod, Jesus." And maybe our soul says amen to that. The temple was very important to Jewish folks back then. So Herod had the temple rebuilt, which was a fantastic accomplishment. It had not been there for hundreds of years. And if I looked up the right stuff on the internet there, the temple was that Herod had rebuilt was 200 yards long, 200 yards wide. Huge structure. And you would say, "Wow, you know, that's a dream come true to be a part of that church." A lot of pastors would say, "You know, I want a big church like that to serve." And that's maybe one of our Herod moments. You know, you got to watch out for that. What's that big thing in your life that you hope gets built, so you think that's going to make you great? Well, that's where Herod was at. If our hearts are in that direction, we're almost following him, you might say. Herod was decisive, successful, and wealthy. He was a strong leader. He took no prisoners, and he tolerated no rivals. And outwardly, it looked like Herod believed in Jesus. In fact, after Jesus was born, he said, "Tell me," he said to the wise men, "tell me where he is so I can go worship him too." But his heart was not in it. And so Herod wanted power for himself. He was willing to get Jesus out of his life to have that power, to be in control of his own little kingdom. And you can think of a simple thought. Which kingdom are you building? If you're a follower of Jesus, his kingdom, follower of Herod, your kingdom. After Herod died, his own family started to pick up his ways. His relatives were directly involved in the murder of John the Baptist, in the murder of Jesus at the cross, and also in the murder of James the Apostle. The Bible lets us know when we minimize Jesus in our life, it will have an effect not only on us, but on our children and grandchildren. Something to think about as we decide if we're going to be a follower of Jesus real strong, follower of Herod real strong. When we want power for ourselves, we're followers of Herod. When we are outwardly religious, but we minimize Jesus, we are followers of Herod. When we succeed pretty well in life, but dump God and dump people while doing it, we're followers of Herod. And we're not the first one to go down that road. He went down that road when Jesus was born. As bad as the followers of Herod were, some of them became followers of Jesus in the New Testament. So if your heart kind of says, uh-oh, I think I'm following the wrong king, you know, Christ would come and invite you to follow him. How about the followers of Jesus? What in the world are they like compared to the followers of Herod? Well, the followers of Jesus have the same kind of problems, surprisingly, as the followers of Herod do. Same kind of problems. At times they are very selfish. In every follower of Jesus, there is a tug of war in their soul that pretty much takes place on a daily basis. Follow Jesus or follow a way of Herod. Follow Jesus or follow a way of Herod. Kind of a tug of war going on. That's why every day they have to pray something like, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. I don't want to follow Herod. You're the king. You're the one I really love. And so the followers of Jesus are like that. They struggle with that. Followers of Jesus have huge sin problems that are very obvious to themselves and to everybody who really knows them. Similar to Herod himself. And all sometimes Jesus, followers of Jesus pretend to be more religious than they really are. But can you blame us? We are trying to compete with the followers of Herod for significance and success, you might say. One writer said, sometimes Christians trade in the gospel, the good news of Christ, for self-fulfillment, self-esteem, self-assertiveness. We want to get our hands back on the wheel. And when we do, we become a follower of Herod again. But somewhere along the way, Jesus shows up for the followers of him. The ragtag bunch of sinners. A bunch of spiritual bad news bears gathered throughout the earth tonight to worship our King. And their leader, our leader Jesus, is quite a king. He gives to us various gifts, most precious being himself. But he gives the forgiveness of sins, something the followers of Herod really didn't have an awareness of their need for. He would come give the forgiveness of sins. And the followers of Jesus didn't even know how to forgive themselves or anybody else until they tasted that gift that the Lord would bring. The followers of Jesus were also given the gift of good news of great joy. And being sinners who were on the sad side of life, they had no joy or good news without Christ. But with Christ, they had an abiding joy stronger than their circumstances. And the followers of Jesus also were impacted by this truth, that Jesus was true and he was really real. And what he said was truly true for everybody. And that's something they couldn't say about Herod. Jesus was a trustworthy, faithful king and faithful Lord. And the followers of Jesus, as they continue to live, and many do today, begin to learn from our king. Not selfishness, but self-sacrifice. Learning how to be 100% unselfish, wanting the Lord's will, and having no rights of our own. I heard a story last week, it impacted me, of a man who was 80 years old. He was a genuine follower of Jesus, had been for a long time. For the first time, he wanted to go on a service project kind of trip with folks from his church. They were going to another country. The country was very poor and rough area, rough roads. So he says, "Where do I sign up?" And the pastor talked to the trip leader, says, "Joe wants to go, he's 80 years old." And the leader of the trip said, no, he can't go because everybody who goes on a trip has to go ride around on a motorcycle. The roads are horrible, and you got to be able to do that and carry a bunch of stuff on your motorcycle. So just tell him, sorry, you can't go. You're not a motorcycle rider guy." And so the pastor tells Joe, and about a month later, Joe pulls in to church with a motorcycle. And he said, "Look what I bought. And I passed my test, and I'm ready to go, ready to go." And a follower of Jesus is like that. He says, "I really want to serve the King in any way I can." They recognize their limitations, but they're motivated by a love that is bigger than themselves. And so tonight, would you like to be a follower of Jesus or a follower of Herod? I confess that every day, Herod, I hear Herod calling me. "Hey, this is the way to be." Sometimes I say, "Yeah, I'm going to be that way." But I find the ways of Herod are the ways of dust and a waste. And Jesus is faithful to call you and I back to himself. He gives us promises. He says, "I'll be with you wherever you go." Herod never said that. Jesus said, "Nothing in heaven and earth can separate you from my love." Herod never said that. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Herod never said that. And in your own soul tonight, make a choice for the good or evil side. To be a follower of Jesus or a follower of Herod. Make the choice really strongly. In terms of your sin, no, Jesus will say, "I'll forgive your sin." In terms of your past, no, Jesus will say, "I'll heal your past." In terms of your present, no, Jesus will say, "I can make that right." In terms of your future, Jesus will say, "I have a home for you in heaven, and I will get you there." And you'll be glad to be a follower of Jesus. There's no more important Christmas gift that you could consider than where you are with Him right here, right now, at this moment. And someone's seeking the Lord right now, as a matter of fact. But here's the challenge for us. Follower of Jesus or follower of Herod in closing? Pro-Christ or anti-Christ? Pro-service or pro-selfishness? For salvation or for damnation? For love or for sin? For truth or for falsehood? For heaven or for hell? Choose the good or evil side. And Jesus said, "I came for you. Would you surrender to me?" Let's pray and do that before the Lord. Lord, I pray each of us know the life-changing history of what you did for us coming into the world. Just didn't change the calendar, but had the potential to change our destination from hell to heaven, from followers of Herod, which we know what he was like because we know our own soul, to a follower of Jesus. We know what he is like through just his love and salvation. I ask that each one of us here tonight would say, "Lord Jesus, I turn to you, I receive you. Take me away from my way of sin, and lead me to follow you forever. Thank you for your love and the gift of salvation." Lord, bless each one here and the privilege of sharing this night with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.